Morning's reading comes from John chapter 14. It's found on page 1082 in the church Bibles. And I'm starting at verse 1, John chapter 14. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. And thank you for letting us take over the service a bit this morning. We love getting to come and share with you and share our heart and our vision with you. So before we start, I'm just going to pray and then we will open up God's word and I will share some things with you about Riverbank. Well, Father, thank you that you're here, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church, for our home as Riverbank, Lord. I thank you for all that you have been doing in our community through this church. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come this morning and just that you'd re-envision us. I pray that you'd meet with us, that you'd stretch us a bit more, that you'd encourage us. And I pray for each of us, Lord, that you'd have something to tell us this morning. You'd have something to share with us. And I pray, Lord, that these would be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, can you remember the first home that you ever had? The concept of home has changed for me over my life, but my earliest memories of our family home is of the bedroom that I shared with my sister, of the landing and the stairs where we used to throw our teddy bears down at unsuspecting babysitters down below. We only let on to our parents in recent years about that one. And about the dinner table, I really remember that, the dinner table where the four of us would sit and have most of our meals together. My family are here this morning, and they would be the first to admit that we were by no means the Waltons. But I understood from an early age that home was a safe place. That was a privilege for me, I know that. Home was a safe place, and it was a loving place. And most importantly, it was the place where I belonged. And this week, as I've been talking about the concept of home amongst our Riverbank team, who you've been meeting this morning, one of them sent me via text a quote by a lady called Jane Howard, and it says this: call it a clan, call it a network, call it a tribe, call it a family, whatever you call it, and whoever you are, you need one. When Riverbank was birthed almost 5.5 years ago now, I'm not sure then that even we fully understood that God was going to build us into a home. I'm not sure that we fully understood the importance of home for people, the importance to have somewhere to belong to. Looking back, I'm not really sure that I knew that. What we did know was that God was calling us, with the help of this church, to reach out to young mums and their families who are experiencing some of the most difficult social problems our society encounters. We knew, what we did know, was that we wanted to take the love of Jesus into difficult situations, into homeless hostels, into social services meeting rooms, into homes where domestic abuse reigned, and into day-to-day struggles with addiction. We knew that we wanted to celebrate motherhood in young single mums instead of condemn them. We knew we wanted to help change cycles of difficulties in parenting, and we wanted to see families that were at risk of breaking and separating be restored. We wanted to build relationships with people that reflected real love, that invested real love, that built trust, and ultimately that created space for people to meet Jesus and for him to transform their lives. And those are just a handful of some of the needs that we saw set before us. And Riverbank was established to find ways to equip the church to love and bless and minister to those in difficult situations. Why? Because we passionately believe that a relationship with Jesus and an experience of his love is the only way for complete healing and freedom for a person. Because we believe that God's longing is to lavish his love on the poor and the broken and the marginalized. And God has been really faithful to us. Over the last 5 years, we have grown to support in excess of 40 families across the borough of Richmond. We've seen God establish specialist groups that we run both here and in other places in our community that we've prayed for this morning, where single mums parenting in very difficult and vulnerable situations can gather together, build relationships, and receive support and care. We've continued to deepen our relationships through our befriending ministry, and we're supporting more families than ever before in 3 of our local primary schools. We have an amazing and committed and passionate staff team, which we've added to again since I last spoke to you this time last year. Both Anka and Karen have joined us this year, Anka adding to our pastoral team and Karen taking on our fundraising and getting our name and our message out far and wide. And it is a joy to have them alongside myself and Sheena and Millie and Michelle, Sue and Claire, as indeed it is to work alongside our small but humblingly dedicated team of volunteers who work alongside us. And we continue to be supported by you, our mother church, who love us and pray for us and give to us and encourage us and invest your time and your energy into us. And we would love it if you're hanging around this morning, if you would take the opportunity to talk to our team. They are around, they've got labels on. I realise I forgot to put my label on, but they've got labels on and we've got a table out the back. Talk to them. You will get stuck talking to them because they are passionate about what they do. And they will talk the legs off you. but listen to their hopes and dreams, listen to their stories, listen to what they do. There are lots of exciting things happening, and we are so thankful for all that God has been doing and for the prayers that he's answered, for the ways in which he's been so faithful. And yet, as I watch this film that you have been shown this morning, I am blown away by the words that have been spoken by those that we support. This is the first time that we've ever interviewed the mums that we know. And actually, altogether, we've got about half an hour of footage. I wish that we could have just shown that, and hopefully we'll make more films as we go along. But it was the sound of this one word that has stayed with me this last week, and that's family. And family is home. That's what it means to me. Family is the safe place. It's the place where we are most ourselves, and it is the place where we belong. God has been building his riverbank into a home, into a family for those in our community for whom either that doesn't exist elsewhere, or for whom it has been or is a very difficult place to belong. And he's been building it through us, his church. He's been building it through conversations, through commitment, through practical help, through text messages and phone calls. He's been building it through hot meals and hugs, through parties and Christmas presents. He's been building a home and a family in the spaces of our lives that we give over to him and say, "Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done." And I just want to thank you at this point this morning for all that you do and all that you give, because you've been building a home. That's what you've been doing. When you give to us, when you give financially, when you pray, when you give your time, you've been helping us build a home. And this home that he's been building is not one of bricks and mortar. For many of the families that we support, home actually has often not been a permanent place to go back to. And the concept of family has been insecure and transient. And I think for most of us, even if it's only in a small way, we can empathize with the notion that life is fragile. Our families change and we suffer loss. And Jesus knows this. In our passage, he is preparing his best friends for the reality that he is not physically going to be with them forever. He is preparing them for separation. He knows that they will have sorrow. And the comfort that he offers them is this. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." I have, as anyone who knows me well will tell you, a terrible sense of direction. And yesterday, I've been down in Sussex for a few days. And actually, when I was in Sussex, I thought I was in Kent, and I didn't know I was in Sussex. That's how bad my sense of direction is. I didn't even know where I was. And yesterday, I had to get back home to Richmond from Sussex. And about 5 minutes after, I was in Ashburnham, which some of you will know, and about five, that is in Sussex, isn't it? Just checking, yeah. So about 5 minutes after I was leaving Ashburnham, Mr. Satnav told me to take a turning, and I missed it because I was thinking about something else. And I was in the car, and I just thought, oh, that's all right, because I sort of know that I need to go that way. So I thought, if I just keep driving that way, I think it's fine. I think I'll get where I need to be. Anyway, about half an hour later, as I drove back through Ashburnham, having done a massive circle, I found the turning that I needed to go back down, and I went down it, and it was fine, and I got back to Richmond a little bit later than I had anticipated. I have a terrible sense of direction, and sometimes finding our way home is a bit tricky. Navigating life is tricky. And it is even harder when the road that you are travelling on is full of potholes and narrow lanes that have blind corners. It's harder when the car that you're driving in keeps breaking down. It's harder when the weather gets really bad and your windscreen wipers break. It's hard when the road signs are bent and pointing the wrong way. And for the families that we often meet through Riverbank, for some of them, life at times has been a horrific journey. It has been bleak and it has been frightening, And a lot of the time it's been really unjust. Things have happened to them that should not have happened to them. And the truth is that a human sense of direction is not enough. I don't have the answers. I don't even know where Kent is, let alone help someone else who's lost. But I have put my faith in a God who looks upon his children with such love that he says, I will come and I will make a way home. I will make a new road. I will make a straight path. I will shelter you from the storm. I will get in the driving seat of your dodgy car. I am the way. I'm the way home. For me, for you, for every broken and lost soul that we meet, Jesus is the way. And when we meet him and when we ask him into our lives, into the driving seat of that car, he makes his home in us. And we're no longer chasing our tails down dark country lanes, desperately looking for home, because he brings home to us. And the journey is all about being with him and carrying out his purposes. He's the sat-nav and the direction and the destination. And that is the greatest invitation and the highest privilege to be able to offer to someone that has spent their whole life being told there is no home for them. There is no place in society for them. There is nowhere with enough room or enough patience or enough money. There just isn't somewhere that they fit. But God has made Riverbank all about inviting others into the home that Jesus builds in us. We are profoundly and constantly challenged about that call on this ministry. We're challenged about how we do it, about the hundreds of women across our borough that we currently are not reaching or providing room or space for. One of the ways that we want to address this is by physically creating more space and room for our Riverbank family to grow. And to do this, we do need a physical home made of bricks and mortar. Now, we love this church. We love you. We love being here. We love working here. But we want to honour the mums that we know and love the way that Jesus loves them. And that means giving them a home and a family. It means giving them a space that they can come 5 days a week, if not more, and call their own. It means giving them a front door where at any time during the week they can come and be loved, where they can talk to someone, pray with someone, learn together, eat and play together. A place that feels safe. A place where maybe for a few hours no one's going to come home and smash up their flat. Where difficult memories aren't going to torture them every moment of the day because of things that have happened to them in their home. We want to give them a place to come where they can be in community instead of staring at four walls sinking into deeper levels of depression. We want a home. That's what we're asking God for. We would love it if you would ask him for us too. We want to add to our family. New additions to the family are great, aren't they? Our friends Joe and Laura Lowther, that lots of you know, just this week, they've added to their family with little Joshua. And they've now got three boys. Happy Mother's Day, Laura. It's great. But growing families are precious things. And obviously, we know that we have to stop somewhere, but the family of God never stops. Jesus tells us in our passage this morning, in his house there are many rooms. He is a generous and a loving God who the Bible says he is calling all people to himself. But we're challenged that there are so many more to invite into our family, and the calling on us and on the church is, will we make room? Will we make room in our church, in our lives, in our hearts? And I believe that for some of you, that will mean very practically coming and befriending for us, volunteering at one of our groups. And if you are sitting here this morning and you are being stirred by anything that you are hearing, please don't sit on it. Please come and talk to us. Because we desperately need you. We need those who will invite and welcome the lost and lonely and hurting into our family and be big sisters and aunties and grannies. And we need men who will come alongside us and support the boys who are becoming dads. And those of you who know us quite well will know that we've come and talked to you over the last couple of years about our desire to work with young men, and it's a project that as yet we haven't got off the ground. But if you're a man, and again, you are stirred by what we're talking about this morning, come and talk to us. We'll work it out. Just don't sit on it. Come and be part of our family. Come and get involved with the family. Where can we make room for others? Others who have been kept for too long on the outside. Others who need to know that they're loved. Others who need to know the love of the Father for them. The vision for our church this year, as you know, is about being otherly. And in Riverbank, we are really buying into that, because we want God to stretch us, to stretch our capacity to love, to show compassion, to reach the lost and the vulnerable, because our Father's house has many rooms and he wants them filled. And being stretched actually doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? Being otherly is actually really costly. When I was a little girl, I would sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep. And I didn't like being awake in the middle of the night on my own. And so I would go into my parents and I would wake them up. And if I'd had a bad dream or felt unwell or just couldn't get back to sleep. And sometimes what would happen is that they would let me get into bed with my mum, and my dad would be turfed out and would have to go and sleep in my bed. And I know that it's Mother's Day today, but actually, it was my daddy who was willing to sacrifice his comfort and sleep in order that I would be comforted. He sacrificed a good night's sleep in order that I might be at rest and at peace. My mum has had to sacrifice many other things for me over the years. I do know that, but your Heavenly Father loved you so much that he looks at you in your discomfort, in your unrest, in your dissatisfaction, in your lostness and your confusion, and he says, that's my boy, or that's my girl. I'm going to give up my place in heaven, and I'm going to take their place on a cross that they deserve for all their sin and all their mess, and I'll deal with that. I'll take that death. And what do you get? You get the arms of a loving Father who says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, a God who is a comforter and a healer and a warrior and a defender, a friend and a brother. From now until all eternity, that's yours. You get every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You get to live in the family forever. And all that you need and all that's good and all that's God's is yours. I can still remember the day that that penny dropped for me, that knowledge went from here to here. The day I first truly understood the free gift of life that Jesus offered me. And it changed my life, it transformed my heart, and it changed the trajectory of my future. And I know that there are lots of people in this church who can say the same thing. Our community and our city have never needed that penny-dropping moment more than they do now. Because at Riverbank, when we sit with a woman who has been abused, beaten, humiliated, and robbed of the joy of life, there is nothing that I want more than for her to know that penny-dropping moment, because that's the moment that she gets to come home. That she gets to understand what it means to be truly and deeply loved by a God who let himself be ruined for us. And then he says, you get to be with me forever now. There is no other news like that for those who are broken and lost. There is no other power great enough to defeat the mess that surrounds them. I was thinking this weekend about some of the things that we talked about in the months sort of running up to when we started Riverbank. And one of the questions that I used to ask myself and that I used to ask God was, what would the lives of women and children in difficult and sometimes horrendous situations look like if they came into contact with the love of Jesus through the church? What happens? What does that look like when that happens? And And we've talked about a lot of other things since those days, and we've tried a few different things, and we've failed at lots of things, and we're just working it out with the Lord by his grace. But really that question is still the question that underpins everything that we do, and it's the place that we still find ourselves in this March after 5.5 years, and it's the question that will keep us going for the next 5 years, because actually we already know the answer, because it's written in our Bible. And what it looks like when that happens, when Jesus meets us in our lostness and our brokenness, it looks like coming home. It looks like freedom. It looks like an adventure. It looks like joy. It looks like peace. It looks like righteousness that isn't earned or strived for. It looks like the words in the end of our passage this morning when Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." You see, I believe that God has big hopes and dreams for the women and children that he is drawing into our family. You see, in Jesus, we're not defined by our history, but by our destiny. There is a plan and a purpose that he has mapped out for our lives, and his beautiful message for those that we care for who have been written off by most people they have met in society, seen as a burden or a problem. Jesus says, "Not to me, you're not." He says, "I've got a plan for your life. I've got a vision for your life, and I am the way to it. I am the truth of it, and I am all that you need to have it." And that's his wonderful promise to all of us this morning. He is building his family here in Richmond, and Riverbank is just one small part of that. But he's building his family, and his plan is that as he brings us home, we would be those who would continue to receive his blessing of love and adoption as sons and daughters, and then we would be a blessing. We would make room for more to come, that we would share the invitation. That's the kingdom of Jesus, and that is what Riverbank is all about. And my prayer this morning is that you will stay with us on this journey, that maybe you'll join with us if you haven't already, and that you will become part of our wonderful, crazy, beautifully messy Riverbank family. Amen.